Okay. So, around 4 to 5 years ago, an unpleasant case arose in America. There was an outwardly looking religious person who was caught by the authorities for money laundering. And because of his crimes to society, they were going to lock him up for 30 years. But the FBI got involved and they said to him, "You're a small fish. We want to cut a deal with you. If you bring us big fish, for every big fish you bring, we'll cut down 2 years of your sentence. So bring us 15 big fish, and you're off." So being outwardly a religious Jew, he came and asked the Shaila whether he was permitted to do this act, or does it come under the concept of Mesira or not? Is he a Mosa or not? And because the local Rabbonim didn't want to answer the Shaila, so the Shaila came to Eretz Yisrael, to one of the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael, had to decide and discuss whether it was permitted or not to do such an act. So, let's just talk about the consequences of somebody who is a Mosa. What is a Mosa? If he does do Mesira, what are the consequences? And then we'll talk about specifically our case, whether there's a het or not. So the first Marum Malkum is the Rambam, and it says, it's brought down also in Shulchan Aruch, and it says like this: Asa limso Yisrael biyad goyim. You can't hand over a Jew the hands of the goyim. And the poskim say it doesn't matter to only a goy, even to other Jewish people who are not botitinim.
Who are not?
And not the basin. Bein begufa, bein bemona. Whether you are handing his body over or his money.
Who says that?
Or the poskim. Vafilo hoya rosha. Even if the person you're handing over is a rosha, ubal averus, and he's full of averus, afilo hoya mitzvah misara. Even if he's somebody who constantly disturbs you and troubles you and causes you sorrows. V'kol amosi Yisrael biyad goyim, and anyone who does, go ahead and snitch to the goyim about this person, bein begufa bein bemona, whether that's his body or his money, ein lo chelek ba'olam haba. If he goes ahead and does it, consequences number one, he loses his olam haba.
Even for money, somebody's money.
Yes.
It's against your basis.
Correct. He has no chelek and olam haba. That's consequence number one. Consequence number two, says the Shulchan Aruch, Hamosa Momon Biyad Onus. Somebody hands money over of some of another Jew to somebody who's an Onus, somebody who's troubling him. Bein Onus over to Gochovim, Bein Onus Yisrael. Even if it's an Onus Yisrael, you hand the money over to him, then halacha is, you cause that event to happen, then chayv the shalem, then you have to compensate his money. You caused him to lose money through you snitching on him, then you have to pay for the loss of money which you caused.
And that was even snitching to a Jew.
Even to a Jew. If it's all based on
a Mosa moment, the honest means you're snitching, or you got stuck up and...
No, it means snitching. Not physically.
Oh, okay.
Even if he didn't do it with his hands, and he just told tales. And in Mace, and if the person who did this died, Govim Yoshim, you can even claim the damages from the people who inherit him.
The honest is being Ma'anes me, or he's pointing a gun to me and telling me, tell me where this guy's
No. He is somebody who's after Reuven's money. And you go ahead, Shimon goes ahead and tells that person who's after Reuben's money, Reuben's money is over here, go and take it.
Well, I'm doing it voluntarily.
Yes.
Not involuntary.
Not involuntary. The halacha is, if you do that, even though you physically didn't pass the money over, you have to compensate him, because you are considered a mazik, and you're chayav to pay.
Now, what if you know he's looking for Reuven to get money, and you say, oh, Reuven's over there. You're not showing the money, you're showing Reuven.
That's even worse, because you're handing his body over.
To a Jew.
That he's not based in.
And this is even if he's entitled to Reuven's money?
Yes. If he's entitled, according to halacha,
yeah,
then you haven't caused him any monetary damage.
Oh, so it's only if you actually caused
yes.
him.
That's the second consequence. So first, you lose your chelek on the bar, and secondly, if you cause unwarranted damage, you have to compensate for that damage monetary.
So if it's warranted, even if you gave it to a goyish court, you'd still be okay.
You'll be okay that you don't
not
have
to pay,
but you lose your
ogam
apa. Okay. I think that's not so okay.
Par will be the first one, right?
Oh, so the first is even if it's warranted.
Yes. You always lose your olam haba, whether it's warranted or not. But you may have to pay if it's not warranted.
Will the first case apply to a Jew also, or only to a goy?
You lose your olam haba even if you give it over to a Jew. That's what he said by the poskim.
The warranted would mean it would have to be proven on base.
Yes.
The,
yes?
It was warranted.
Third consequence. Sometimes, if somebody is going to be snitched on you, then you're allowed to kill him to stop him telling tales.
He's a rodef?
Because he's got a din of a rodef. Why is he a rodef? Because you put the person who's telling tales is putting Reuven, who he's telling tales on, in sakona. Why? Because when he ends up in prison, he may die.
So it's not grumma?
You're a rodef then. A rodef of grumma is also a rodef.
So that's not by mama now.
Yes, it's not by mom. It's by when you're causing him to go to jail, and he may die in jail, so therefore the person telling tales is considered a rotif, and you're allowed to have all the halakha of the rotif, which means if it's necessary, and there's no other means of stopping him, you may go ahead and kill him. Now, so the post can say that first halakha, does it apply now? This does not apply. So, most jails in society of the modern world, advanced society, are not dangerous for people to be in.
That's not true.
It's not dangerous to be in. However,
it's not true.
In America, it's more dangerous.
However, there are certain countries where it is dangerous to be in. They say in South America,
yeah, in
the
America,
South,
America.
They say in South America prisons,
it has different level jails.
The lowest. Life expectancy in the world. Yeah, if you want to die, you go to a South American prison. Yeah, so therefore nowadays it still be a din of a rotif if we're talking about South American prisons. That's the Chuvah Space Yitzhak, and therefore it depends which jails are we talking about and which scenarios.
I mean, white power crimes in America, probably, you know, we have cable TV.
It depends what prison it's done.
Isn't it white power crimes?
It depends what prison it's done. Not all white power crimes go to the same prison.
I mean, that can be with the murderers or with the...
Not necessarily true.
No?
No.
Still alive. Those are the three possible consequences for somebody's Mosa. A Mosa is always loses his Olam Haba. He may have to pay if it's unwarranted damage, and he may have a din of a rotif if it causes his telling tales, a possibility of danger to the person who's telling tales on his life.
So the sons of Madoff that gave him away would be a rotif?
Madoff admitted his crime.
Yeah. Afterwards, if the sons started on
him, he wanted to step forward.
Now, let's now refer to our case. That is the general outline of Monsieur. The Shulchan Aruch brings down in number 2 that our case may be slightly different, and you have to tell me whether it fits in with this Shulchan Aruch or not. Our case, it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Otsu Hamelach Lemosa Zer Achi Yirelo Momen Chaveru. The king came along and said to the person, you better tell tales about where Reuven's money is, because he's hiding from me his money. Behorolo, and he said, and the person said, okay, I'm going to show you where Reuven's money is. If they own this because you're threatening me. The halacha is, Harizah Potter, it's not also for you to do, and you do not have to pay for any damage which you caused by telling tales. Why? Shim lo yiralo, because if you don't tell the tales, Yakil o yam misu, because they were physically harm you by beating you up, or they will kill you.
Well, in South America, according, that would be similar, right? If this was, if our case was in South America, and you're going to go to jail, and you could save the, not go to jail by, and then protect your life, would that be similar?
More than that, it says even if you're not going to die, but you're just going to have discomfort, physical discomfort, you also can tell over the tale.
Only if it involves Momo, not if it involves the Potter.
So therefore we see from here that Moser is only also if telling tales is only going to be a problem if you're not being forced to voluntarily tell tales about somebody else and cause them monetary loss or go to prison. That is awesome, Mr. And you lose your Olam Haba and you have to pay. And maybe you're Rotef and you can be killed in certain circumstances. But if somebody is forcing you to tell the tales, then we say, no, you are allowed to tell the tale to save your own skin, and you are not liable for damages, and you do not get the consequences of Mesirian those
people.
Well,
we know the Jews going to get killed? The Jew give away?
So let's go back to our case. What's our case? Our case is somebody was caught by the American government, and he said, we're going to lock you up for 30 years for money laundering. But we're going to make a deal. You're a small fish. If you get us big fish, every big fish you get, we're going to cut 2 years off your sentence. So, do we say that comes under the heter now of that you've been forced to tell the tales in order to prevent you getting physical discomfort, and therefore there's no problem of telling tales in such circumstances? You can tell tales on the big fish or not. And that was the question which was asked to the Gedolim in Eretz
Yisrael. It depends on the crimes of the big fish. If the crimes of the big fish are money, then it's not a problem. If the crimes of the big fish are capital, then it would be a problem.
So we're talking about America, and is their capital for money laundering? Is their capital? There's no capital for money laundering.
We're in America.
Yes.
You can money launder.
It's not a capital crime. You don't get killed.
It depends where you put capital. Putting somebody away for 30 years is like.
Is your mother for this guy to be
not?
Yes. That's the
question.
You could
die in prison for 30 years.
It's not capital.
Well, insurance agents is vade mutter
this. He might be a little bit, what's his name?
No, on insurance agents.
We'll get to insurance agencies in a few weeks.
If you get 100 years, like they give in America.
How can you sit? You're not allowed to sit. You don't get Olam Haba. You have to pay for the damages, and you may be a rotef if you've been killed. But if you've been forced to snitch, we say, what's called being forced? Where the king comes up to you and says,
you did something wrong.
The king comes up to you.
If he's trying to screw somebody else to get
who also deserves 30 years.
No, he should have done it. That's cutting the deal. He didn't do anything wrong.
He's not being forced. He's cutting the deal.
You're going to be in prison for 30 years.
He's being forced.
Unless you tell tales.
Yumi, surprisingly, brings up a good point. He says,
you say that often.
I'm ever surprised every time. Because he deserved the 30 years, so the government was entitled to take 30 years from him. The Melech here isn't entitled.
Now, let me ask you like this. Halachically, does he deserve 30 years for money laundering?
No, he's
a halachically, in halacha, does somebody who money launders deserve 30 years?
No.
Dina de
Malchusa, yeah. Dina de Malchusa.
Is there such a concept of Dina de Malchusa? I'm putting you in prison for money laundering.
Yes. We find, I think it was Rav Papa, that paid somebody's head tax and he had to be a slave for it. So you can make him a slave because you don't put him in prison.
what's the case?
Well, Papa paid somebody's head tax. And yes. The halacha, the din of Malchusa was, if he pays the head tax to somebody else, he has to be your slave for X number of years. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says he used him as a slave. Because of dealing with the Muslim Dina.
That's a monetary issue. Yeah. We're talking about prison.
No monetary. A slave is a
slave. You can be halachically a slave as well if you sell yourself.
He didn't sell himself.
Yeah, that's called selling yourself.
That's
called selling yourself.
What?
The Basin do, they take
what they said, look, if you do such and such actions, then you need to sell yourself.
Who said? Who said?
The
Goyim said. So that's a Dina the Malchus of
Dina. That's a Dina Malchus of Dina. You do such things, you can be
to sign up to be a tenant
in prison.
Is that
the Malchus of Dina for prison?
Why not? The Goyim have a mitzvah to set up courts of law and judgments.
So, what?
It's fine. What are we talking about? Is the Dina Malchus
of Dina? The Dina to put somebody in prison. Is there such a thing? You know what? It's not so clear and it's not so posh, and we'll do a whole lot of sharing Dina Malchus of Dina very soon. That is such a thing. So if you go with the concept that it's not necessarily true that he should deserve 30 years in prison, so the guy is basically coming to you. I'm going to put you for 30 years in prison, which luckily you don't deserve and shouldn't get. But I'm going to put you in prison unless you tell tales. So that's called, I'm forcing you to tell tales. If you're forcing you to tell tales, you should be murdered according to the halakha which you just said.
Yeah, but he lived in the land.
And you have to tell me why instead of just not shaking your head and saying, oh, that doesn't sound right. You have to see. So why? Say
he lives in
logical.
A land where he knows the law.
He did a crime. This is what they call
what is money laundering?
The cost of his crime.
Money
what
laundering.
Is money?
Cost of money laundering means
it's
you have to. Halakhically, it means you stole.
Is what? Usually
yeah,
evading
so
taxes.
Stealing in halakha means you pay back the money. That's
or
what
it could be evading taxes, or it could be taking illicit money, drug money, and
cashing
it up. Right.
Cashing up drug money is not halakhic.
No, because that's Masira.
Avera.
Unless.
Neither is avoiding taxes.
You're allowed to go to Basin.
Yes, taxes you have to pay.
You also have to stick by drug money. You're not allowed to.
It's
the same Dina the Malchus
of Dina. You have to pay your taxes.
That's why we're here, in order to define people's comfortability with halacha.
It's Dina the Malchus of Dina. It's the same Dina the Malchus of Dina.
Doesn't sound good, though.
This is a very narrow thing. What we're
so there are some that say it's only with
if it goes against halacha, then we don't.
But
now there is definitely a halacha which says that if a person is a danger to society, you're allowed to lock him up. But if it's a
you're
one-time
to
event,
up or you're allowed to be most of him.
You're allowed to have be most of him to lock him up.
Are you allowed
but if it's not a danger to society, he's not going to continue doing this, and it's a one-time event, then. You're restricted to specific halacha and using basis.
So why did it say a few
more you make of the Shiro? Cover yourself.
No, that's him causing him to.
Are you allowed to do a Chil Hashem to cover to take care of yourself?
No, it's definitely Chil Hashem.
You're talking about the Chil Hashem by saying that there's other Jews that did money laundering. It's Chil Hashem.
Chil Hashem.
So that's, is he allowed to do that for his 2 years?
But he did much worse than that.
Now.
He got people to change checks.
Is he
got people persuaded.
Is
people who were never coming.
Telling tales now.
He persuaded people.
Recordings in here.
It's not a secret. It's all over the news.
Now. No, this was big news a few years ago. Now.
Salute.
The Ramah says. What type of onus are you allowed to do this? What type of onus are you allowed to do this? What type of onus? What's the conditions for what's called an onus that you're allowed to tell the tale? So the Ramah says, very specific. Number 3. Afili Yasu Velo Omele Amma. If he says, you know, I want big fish. I don't know who these big fish are, but I want big fish. And if you don't, I'm going to lock you up. That you're not allowed to do. If he doesn't say who the big fish are, he just says, give me big fish, then you're not allowed to tell tales. Lo mikra onus, ela hakar zesurim, avolo onus momen. It's only permissible if they threaten you with physical abuse, and they say, bring me this person, someone specific money, that's who I want. If they say, I want Reuven, who's a big fish, otherwise we're going to physically abuse you, then there's a heter over there. But if you're missing both those conditions, they don't say who, they just say big fish, or they don't threaten you with physical abuse, then it's not permitted. Jail is called physical abuse.
Is it?
Jail is called physical. Do you want to try?
You know the movies and all the assault through all
that? The Russian compound is known to be a... Yeah, it's known to be problematic. Now, Yemi is correct. At the end of the day, the halacha is you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. But the reason why is number four. You're not allowed to tell tales in this case. He wasn't allowed to cut this deal. And that was because of a tuss. And the tuss says very specifically. In Rotsa owners, Shiyaret a good chaver letovto. If the owner says to him, he says, look, I'm putting you up in jail for 30 years, unless you bring me some Reuven, who I'm also going to put in jail in place of you. Bring me Reuven to put in jail in place of you. There's no heter, even if you're going to be put in jail, there's no heter to cause somebody else to go into jail. Only by money. To cause somebody else to lose money, then we got heterin. But to cause somebody else to be put in jail in place of you, there's no heter, even if you're going to end up in jail. Because of the sorrow that we know of, my chazis is the domer today, somat tefe. Why is your blood better than his blood? Yes?
Let's say the first guy didn't do something wrong. Absolutely can't.
If the first guy did something wrong.
Let's say the first guy didn't do something wrong. You're threatening him. You know things. If you don't tell us, you'll laugh me out.
And also the second guy didn't do something wrong?
The second guy did do something wrong.
There's room to say. There's still a... Why is it chazis? Why should you give up your... Be able to tell tales and put him in prison?
He did something wrong, man.
Something wrong. Everyone can't be in prison. Everyone didn't do anything wrong. No one deserves to be in prison. According to halacha, so that's what we call doing something wrong. Can't be halacha. No one deserves to be in prison. So therefore, you can't tell tales or cause him to be in prison more than you in prison.
So he says the fact was that he wasn't allowed.
So therefore, the halacha was he wasn't allowed to cut the deal, because by cutting the deal, that would mean that you caused somebody else to be in prison. Okay,
he went ahead and
you're not allowed to do.
He went ahead and did it.
He's not allowed to.
What if we go with the Dina de Melchizedek thing? If we say that Dina de Melchizedek is appropriate for someone to get a sentence, and then if you were innocent, like he said, and the other guy was guilty, would you then be allowed to say something?
Then it's how long the sentence. There's all limitations.
The Dina de Melchizedek is whatever the Dina decided. No, meaning that there it did.
If it's, even sentencing is not Dina de Melchizedek. The concept of you've done something wrong and you need to be punished in a certain way is Dina de Melchizedek. There's no law in America that says how long your sentence is. That's up to the individual judge. An individual judge is never called Dina de Melchizedek. Anything which is totally on what the individual the judge decides is never considered Dina de Melchizedek. It's up to the whims of a judge, that's not Dina de Melchizedek.
So he had the din of a roda?
No, because American prisons generally is not.
Oh, so they could have.
It's not so common.
They could have taken
him out.
So that's just an introduction to the concept of mystery. You said, well, maybe saying, well, what's this in the guy to me? I'm not money laundering. Well, I am, but I'm not being caught. That's all. Don't worry, you.
Nobody went to ordinary people.
Now, we're now going to bring it down to everyday shilas, the concept of mystery. So let's talk about our first shila. We have a person who wants, an organization who wants to build a nursing home. And they have applied to the local authority to get land designated to them. And the authority says, we have no problems in designating that land to you, and we're ready to sign a contract with you. But of course, before we actually do that, there is a process that's called Pirsum, which means we have to publicize to the public that this is going to take effect. and if therefore the chance for the public to object, and then we have to relate to the objections and see whether you're allowed to go through after the objections or not. Now the halakhic shaila that arises now, is there a problem now of mesira for the public to object, for them to getting the property for the use of the old age home or not, the nursing home?
I have a problem with it. Why is it mesira?
Because you're causing him to lose something which he's going to get.
First of all, the
local forest says, we are going to give it to you. We have no problems ourselves. We're ready to sign everything.
He doesn't have it.
Right, it's future profit.
Causing someone to lose something is not mesira.
Causing something to lose something is not mesira. Now, let me ask you a lot like this. Yes?
If this was the build-up, and that's the question, so it is mesira. You might not understand why. But he prepared a little before he walked in. The question is what?
If it's going to damage your property or cause a loss to you, then why wouldn't you be allowed to object?
Let's stress again. Even if you've got halachic reasons why you shouldn't do this action, but the proper place to arise those halachic reasons is in Basin. And if you go to the improper place, like the authorities which are not botted in it, that's called Mesira. Like we said in the first halacha, you lose your chelik on the number even if you are correct, but you moser it to the person which is not a proper place to have the issue discussed. So even if you've got halachic reasons, then you're right that the nursing home should be halachically here. But if you go ahead to the wrong authorities, that's called mesira, if it comes under the concept of mesira, the whole issue in the first place. If it comes under that concept, then it would be mesira, and therefore ain't no chelik on the number.
There's no mesira l'chora for two reasons. A, he doesn't have anything that I'm being moser yet. You're talking about something he's going to get in the future.
Yes.
Maybe. B, mesira is when the person that I'm telling is going to be taking it. They're not taking anything. They're just not giving him something.
Mesira is when you're taking. No, mesira is not just when they're taking. Mesira is when you're damaging something. You go ahead and through your words. Your words are now damaging that person in the wrong place.
Not every hezek is mesira. It has to be a specific client.
Every mesira is not necessary taking something. Mesira can be taking something or causing him damage.
Well, damage is also taking something.
No, damage means over here preventing him to have the profit which he was going to get. What happens? You damage somebody in a way now that he can't make profit. You lock him up in the house for the day, and he can't go to work, and he can't make any business. Have you done anything halakhically wrong?
Yeah, I'd be moser gufo. Moser gufo.
What have you done halakhically wrong? Halakhically or not gufo? Halakhically, if you lock him up in the day, what you've done is called, you have caused him to lose potential profit, which is an issa of mazik. But it's gromah, so you can't get it out. You're chayav b'dei shamayim, but it's awesome. So is this called mesira by saying objections to a project which was going to go ahead, and now you're preventing that project to go ahead or not? You're preventing profit which is going to happen. Preventing profit which somebody's going to have is called menias reva. Menias reva is gromah. Gromah is awesome. Chayav b'dei shamayim, can't be wrote to gromah, it's awesome. So if you do it to the wrong authority, maybe it's mesira as well.
Yeah, but let's say part it's not pleasant for me. Let's say I have a reason.
So go to Beis Din, if you've got a halakhic reason. Even again, mesira is not if you're right or you're wrong. Mesira says even if you're right, but you do it in the wrong place, that's mesira ain't no chelek on the number. Even if you're right.
Why is this mesira?
Which aspect?
You agree with me now? Is that
which aspect do you agree with? Or
I'm not granted authority. The authority is coming to me.
No, you go to authorities. They wouldn't even hear about it unless you pick up the phone.
Those aren't what they did. You hear me? Why do you say they're not Batidin?
some people say area is a...
Take a few weeks.
We need a controlling system. Beis Din.
Beis Din? Well, I have to go to Beis Din. If you have halakhic reasons, go to Beis Din. Beis Din will say, yes, you're right. Or you're wrong.
Or we'll take into account the planning.
Now...
No, you have a concept of Shiva Tovia here. They can create protocols for how the city is going to run that are not strictly within the realm of the halakha.
Right. But what's called Shiva Tovia is not the local
elected
authorities.
People that are elected are Shiva Tovia.
No, they're not.
Why not?
And we'll discuss that in the Dinamarkal Siddhila, why they're not.
Okay.
Now, says the Marik, Kosev HaRosh B'Tshuva. The Rashi writes in Tshuva, Sh'odom yochul ador b'chol mokom sh'yitzeh. A person is allowed to live in any place he wants to live. Ve'im b'nei ir yochul l'akel l'lov. No one in the city is allowed to stop him coming. Shita Sh'otzalema says to Marik, what does the Rosh mean to say? She'im b'nei yochul l'akel l'lov al-pi b'estin. They can't go to Beis Din and have any claim halakhically to stop this guy living here. Avu in tikva yad b'nei ir liskor deshiba pehein ayidei sar. But if they want to go to the local authority to stop and make the local authority stop the guy coming, shita shurushus b'yotam, they're allowed to do that. Lo yachlik azer. You shouldn't argue with this. Because if you do, and you don't know, you don't understand, you don't understand anything if you argue with us. If you argue with what I just said, you don't understand anything. Says the Marik, says...
That's much harsher than that.
Says the Marik, that anyone can live where they want, but you are allowed to go to the local authorities and stop him coming in, using the local authorities to stop him coming in.
Why? He says it's possible. Why?
He says it's poshut, and if you don't agree, you're an idiot.
Okay. So, if you relate it to our case, that means, like you're saying, I want this piece of land. I want to move into this district and build a nursing home. Halachic, I'll go to basement. Maybe I don't have any rights or any titles or anything. But I'm allowed, as the public, is allowed to go ahead to local authorities to stop him moving in. If you relate it to the Marik. And if you argue with the Marik, you're an idiot. Now, of course we're not going to leave it there, because the Beis Yosef argues with the Marik. The Beis Yosef says...
Well, I was wondering, what does Marik
Yosef
think
says,
about
I don't know what he's talking about. If halakhically every person can live where they want, how can you go to the local authorities? That's your sira. I don't understand what he's saying, says the Beis Yosef. So what's going on over here? We've got the Marik saying you're an idiot if you argue with me, and you've got the Beis Yosef saying I don't know what he's talking about, and it's Mesira if you go ahead and stop somebody through using the local authorities. So the Chazanish comes to our rescue, and he explains it like this. That really everybody agrees. Beis Yosef and Marik just didn't understand what case we're talking about. And the Marik is talking about a case where the Beis Yosef would agree. And what's the case? Number six. The Ir Shaykh Lassar Medin Zimarakul Sedina. Who owns the city? The local authorities own the city. Vasokha Mahasar, and therefore if you want to rent property from the local authorities, okay, you can. In Kain Hashka Shalo Sotaze Habaligar, Yesh the Blay is the Chuspe Ila Akiba Dechim. But Paul's man, you haven't yet rented the property from the local authorities, it belongs to the local authorities. And the person is coming, Rubin says, I want to rent that in order to build a nursing home. So Shiva can come along and also say, I want to try and get hold of that property. Yes, everyone can agree, if you've got there's a property up to rent, Reuven cannot go after it, and Shimon can go after it. Reuven can't say, Shimon, you're not allowed to do it. Both Reuven and Shimon, it's a fair race, can chase after that property to see who is Zohar. So just as they can chase after the property to see who's Zocha, because it belongs to the property and we want to know who's going to get it, Reuven and Shimon. So Shimon can say, look, I don't want it, but I can stop you getting it. Because what's the difference? I can stop you getting it by being Zocha in it myself. I can stop you getting it by convincing local authorities not to give it to you, but give it to somebody else or some other institution down the road. So therefore that's not called the zero coin to everybody, says the Chazanish. Even the Beis Yosef would agree over there. Because if somebody's got a house up for rent, and everyone has got a right to chase after it to find out, to see whether who's going to be Zohar. So therefore, a property which hasn't yet, under the jurisdiction of everybody, and the local authority saying, this piece of land is up for grabs, and I want to build here a nursing home, so our public can say, we don't want nursing homes, we want something else. And therefore they have that right, and it's nothing to do with Syria.
What about Aniyam HaHapech V'Chorara?
Aniyam HaHapech V'Chorara, why?
I'm not allowed to try and get the property if I know you
don't. Aniyam HaHapech V'Chorara, as we'll learn in the Shir when we do that, is also limited to conditions, and that is only when the deal is signed and delivered at that stage. There's no signed and delivered deal between the Reuven, the nursing homes, and the area at this stage. So, of course, as Yemi said, that's not Messira. As you also find.
I said it first. You're younger, you got the credit.
You got the deal.
It's because it's more of a surprise that you got it right.
Now, let's move on. A builder, bought a big property. But in the bidding process, it went higher, the bids, than really he expected. And therefore now, in order for him to make a good profit on it, and not be a waste of time, he wants to change the tochnit which the land is designated for. And he wants to build high-rise buildings. So he has to go through the process of asking for the change in land designation. The land belongs to him, but he just wants to change the designation of the land to be able to build high-rise. Are the people in the vicinity allowed to object to that change or not?
It sounds similar to the last case, though.
Similar case. Oh, we're going to say now, well, and you tell me.
Not really, because he owns it.
Why is it different from the last case? Why may this be a different Shiloh over here?
Because
he already owns the land. And I just want to change designation of it.
Well, you didn't get permission yet.
I'm going to make profit.
You didn't get permission yet.
If I don't change it, then I'll be hardly worth my while. Another case, everyday case. Somebody wants to enclose the mepeset, the balcony. Oh. They own the balcony, yes. They want to enclose it. They make an application to the local authorities. Can the neighbours come and object to local authorities to stop that application being successful or not?
That, I think, is a bit of a
both cases of where they own a property and they want to change the designation of the property, are the people in the vicinity allowed to object to the local authorities to stop that change happening or not? Is that Messira or not Messira?
I protect my life as a Messira.
Even if you have a lucky time that he should be able to change the designation, but if you do it in the wrong place, it's Messira.
You have your kit and you see if it's the only place to do it.
Well, Basin is the place that you can do it. In Basin?
Yeah,
the
lucky.
Why did we say the last case is allowed? Why did we say the last case you were allowed to?
Because you don't own it yet, and it's two people chasing after the possibility of getting hold of that land. So I want to rent it, you want to rent it. So, of course, that's not called Messira if I go and say, don't give it to him, give it to him. But here, I own the property, I just want to change the designation of property, and the neighbors want me to stop me to change it. Is that Messira or not Messira? So according to what we saw the Chazanish, there shouldn't be any heter to do it, because the whole heter was you don't yet have ownership over it. then, okay, two people can chase after it to see who gets it. But if you already own the property and you want to do things to that property to change its designation, why have you got rights to stop that happening, to me doing things on my own property?
It still affects other people's rights.
But again, we're not deciding whether you're right or you're wrong. You may be very right to stop him. The wet place to do it is in Basin. If you do it in the wrong place,
the previous case you said was mutter because it affected my ability to buy the land or to get the land.
It's permitted not because of effects. It's permitted because it wasn't material. Why? Because no one had it yet and everyone's chasing after it. So everyone has a right to chase after it.
Okay, so everyone has a right to chase after the opportunity to expand their homes and to. But once he expands and he builds the high rises, now I can't build high rises over here. Meaning everything has an effect.
He's got his right.
What?
If Scott's time is a Hesic here, or he's got time as
property value,
or property value, shade, light, there's lots of things, noise, there's lots of things you can time which are halakhically valid times. Then for sure, then what is even for sure maybe a problem with Mesira. Mesira doesn't matter if you're halakhically right or not. But Yumi's asking, how can you be halakhically right? So I gave him examples of halakhically right situations. So the Avni Nezda says like this. The second line. Tamarik. The reason the Marik says you're allowed to do it, he says differently from the Chazanish. He's explaining the Marik in a different way. He says, is Kivan She'ein Hezik Rap Menias Reva. Because all you're doing is preventing him getting potential profits. You're not actually taking and damaging him. Yes, that's why he smiled. Didn't you see that smile? Haven't seen that for ages, a smile like that. There's two conditions. He's not causing him damage, he's just preventing him potential profit, and his intention is not to cause damage, he's just looking after himself. Rachu wrote Salah, he wants to have peace, he wants to get benefits. Then it's Mutter.
What do you mean he wants to get benefits?
I'm not doing it out of spite. I have reasons why I don't want you to do this. I don't want a high rise building 20 floors up because, for many reasons, it disturbs me. Not just because I don't like you. If I just do it because I don't like you, that's not allowed. But if I'm doing it because it disturbs me in some sort of way, and it's not damaging your money, just preventing profit, then it's permitted. That's not Mesira. It's allowed.
Now, what if the guy paid, the amount he paid in the auction was so high that he would lose money if he didn't actually adjust, make both the sky rise?
Then he's not clever, is he?
Well, he thought he'd get approval. He thought he'd get approval for the sky rise.
You can't think like that.
He already has that loss. Now he's trying to recoup his loss.
Yeah, all my kids are like that. They thought that it would be okay with this.
It carries on the Avni Nezer, very important line before everyone starts smiling. Im Kain, Benidon Didon. In our case, which the Avni Nezer is talking about, Shasheni Ein Yochel Lasa is Beis Tefillah. That person's not allowed to make a Beis Tefillah. Beliti Rishus Mamshala, without permission from the government. Then you abolish that to the Hasik with Shus, and he has to get permission, then the other person can stop him getting that permission to build his shul. He wants to build a shul in his land, he has to get permission from the government to build a shul in the land. The other neighbors can come along and complain to the government, say, don't give him permission to build the shul because it disturbs us. That's okay because I am just preventing potential profits here. I'm not actually causing you damage to anything that you own. Now, you tell me, therefore, what's the case? Does all those three conditions we have in our cases? You need three conditions. You need, firstly, that you're not damaging, you're just preventing the profits. Secondly, you're not doing it out of spite, you're doing it because you've got reasons for yourself that it disturbs you. And thirdly, is that person, in order to do what he wants, he has to always go to the government to do it and ask permission to build his shul or whatever extension he wants to do. So do you have all three conditions in our two cases? What's our two cases? I got a piece of land, I want to build a high rise, I want to change the designation. Or I've got a balcony and I want to enclose it, I want to change this designation. Do you have all three conditions in order to complain to local authorities to stop him doing this or not?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes? No?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Obviously,
you say yes?
No, we want to know why. I say yes. Yeah.
And what do you say?
No.
Now, explain why no. Yes?
Because the condition, if I own the land...
Are you coming tomorrow night?
If I own the land... So by the other guy stopping me, what's your reason?
Potential
conflict. I'm losing, he's not losing.
Yes, he is.
It's actually starting in red. Oh, wait. He's not taking money out of his pocket, he's causing less problems. Right. Okay, sorry.
So you agree that he's got all three conditions?
I'm going to be perfect.
Because
my guess is no.
Your guess is no. Your feeling.
Your guess.
Thank you.
I really want to hear an answer. All things being equal, why wouldn't he go to Basin? All things being equal.
It might take too long. By the time you get to Basin,
you're going to tie it in front of one authority. So tie it in front of Basin. Why?
Because they put up here soon, and it's much easier for me just to say, well, this is my problem, than to spend money out of my pocket to open up a basement tank and go through the process of trying to drag him to the basement, maybe he drags him to another basement. I thought, well, that helps with the hassle.
Just and if I'm it's mutter, then it's
and if it's mutter, that's what I'm asking. If it's mutter, I'll do it. I'll just do the basement. If it's not mutter, then I'll go to the basement. Fine. Tell me what the hell is. Do you have all three conditions here? Then it's mutter, it's not. So you're all saying it's yes, and you'll be saying it's parva. And you're all wrong.
I should know a lady.
Minus 2 points for you.
Minus two points for you.
You have to use your mind over here.
So it's not no or par or yes.
The answer is, one case is it's permitted, and one case it's not permitted.
Uh-huh.
One case you got three conditions, and one case you don't have three conditions. Which case do you have three conditions? Is it giving you a second chance? And which case do you have the three conditions?
The other case, of course.
Which case? Tell me, where do you, is it permitted, and where is it not permitted? You got these two cases.
Permitted in the high rise.
You say permitted in the high rise. What do you say? We'll go around the table this time.
Permitted
in
the high rise, or no?
Permitted in the high rise. No, if it's permitted, you're not being Moshe.
Permitted to be... There's a high-rise issue, there's a profit issue. Issue of the profit, the issue of the profit.
And the other case?
Somehow you're not. No profit.
Everyone say, agree, disagree,
well,
different
well, living.
Or just one
house. House.
But it's a yacht. Listen. You're having
a yeah, it's a house.
Well, the base field is his house too.
We're discussing here the balcony and the high rise. One of those is permitted and one of those is not permitted to object. Because one of them you've got three conditions and one of them you haven't got the three conditions.
Object to the high rise, don't object to the balcony.
Why?
I just said, because the high rise is a profit issue. And
the only
you're
way I
object
see it,
profits. It's your house, you're not going for profits, you're trying to live.
So there's no loss of profit.
The only way I could see a chiluk, but I don't really see it as a chiluk,
okay,
is that if you want to say by the case of the mirpeset,
yes,
that he doesn't need to assist from the mishala, he just needs from the neighbor. But it's really, it does.
Yeah, okay, very good.
I don't think so.
You saved the
I saved free myself.
Good. Let's speak it out.
Right.
The third condition was that the only way he can get the change of designation is by going to the local authorities. If so, then you're allowed to object. That's the third condition. So, to build a 25-floor building without the local authorities getting involved and hoping that they won't turn
notice
a blind eye is not possible. So if you want to change the designation and build a 20-floor building, you definitely always have to go to the local authorities. There's no way you're going to do that without going to the local authorities, and no way that anyone's going to do that. So therefore, in that case, we have those three conditions. He hasn't yet got the profit, you're just preventing the profit, and it's you're doing it for good reasons, and he always needs to get permission to go to do what he wants. But in closing the balconies, as everybody knows, there's a lot of people who do it illegally, a lot some people do it legally, and a lot of people do it illegally.
But according to the Planning Act,
we're not interested in according to the Planning Act, because let me explain why. We want to know what's physically on the ground. They go always to the planning authorities, or don't they always go to the planning authorities? So physically, people don't always go to the planning authorities. Why? Why are we interested in what's physically going, and why don't we just say what's the law in such a case?
Why does Yabinezer add the three words if it's not because of the law?
That's the reason why he would do it. It's not because...
Why did he have to say Behu Mechuke HaMachus?
Because that's also a condition.
Ah, so this is Mechuke HaMachus that he has to get.
Yeah, but you also need that he wouldn't do it as well. He says you need to be able to say that he wouldn't do it unless he would go to the authorities. Now, explain what's the logic behind it. There's very good reason along this why that's true. How do you define whether you are preventing profit, or and when do you define this as not you're preventing profit, you actually are damaging his monetary value, which he's already got? When do you call he's already got something and therefore you're damaging and therefore it's awesome? And when do you define that he hasn't yet got it, he's got potential, and you're preventing getting that potential?
When he bought the house, if he saw everyone else around him in Fosbury Peasants without having to go to the authorities, so he already factored that into his cost, I'm getting this benefit. So then when you go in a moser on him, you're now taking away a benefit he's already had.
No, it's not necessarily where he
can. You can add a suma harchava when you buy a house.
I'm not saying whether you legally can, but it's to people.
No, I can understand why. Because now that the authorities have it in the crosshairs, it will cost any subsequent buyer that wants to build there more money to get a permit from the city. Because they're never going to let that go by. Once a complaint has been established against that apartment, then you can't build. So it's going to devalue the apartment immediately.
Yeah. That more than that. Even before that the tale was being told to the local authorities or the complaint was given, the property had a value. Factored in the value was potential, even though you don't like it, potential for extension. Now, potential for extension does increase the value of the property. It's more valuable if it's legal than if it's illegal. But illegal potential is also a value. It's only called potential, though, for extension illegally if it's possible to potentially extend illegal. That means that it's done, and it's done without, on the basic general level, without going to the authorities. But if it's never done and never can be done, it's not potential, and therefore it never there's no such thing in that scenario of a potential for illegal extension. So therefore, in the 20 high-riser, there was no potential for illegal extension, only for legal extension. You haven't yet got that, so therefore that's only a taking away a potential. But in the case of the balcony, there was a potential for illegal extension, because there's a lot of people who do that without going to the authorities, and therefore it's already factored into the value of the property that you already got that value. If you already got that value, and now somebody comes along and complains to the authorities and stops it happening at all, that's called not just taking profit away, it's called you actually physically damaging the value which he has already, and that's not allowed. So in the case of the high-riser, like you said, it's permitted to object to the change. But in the case of the balcony, to go to the local authority is not permitted. You would have to go to Beis Din and put your halakhic kindness there to prevent any situation where the halakhically will disturb it.
So this can change from town to town. In Modi and the Mufti, you can't build anything.
Correct. We have to see whether the area is a potential for illegal extension.
And this then applies equally to U.S. authorities versus Israeli authorities.
Correct.
So that will be probably in the
That we say no. If at the end of the day, the result of your words, you're causing him damage, that's called Masira. whether you say the word snitching or objecting, whether they are asking for opinions or whether they're not asking opinions, if it comes down to Mesira, it's Mesira. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
What if the potential expansion is the kind that is halachically asur, but is done all the time anyway?
Go to Beis Din.
No. But would that be Mesira also? Because I'm decreasing the value, even though the value is caused by something else.
Go to Beis Din is never Mesira.
No. That's not what I'm asking. Let's say it's very common for people to expand into the common area of the apartment building. Gezel.
Yes.
Partial gezel.
Yes.
But people do it all the time.
Right.
Okay? So that creates a value. This apartment sits on the ground floor. You can go into... So is it Mesira for me to go to the authorities, not the Beis Din, to stop him from going into the common area?
It's called Mesira, but you wouldn't have to pay for the damages.
I wouldn't.
This was all
halakhically wrong for him to do. He's halakhically stealing from me.
Correct.
Therefore, he's halakhically, I'm not causing him damage by preventing it.
Well, you are, because you're decreasing the value of his property.
No, because it's not called value of property, because I could always go to Beis Din and prevent him from doing it.
But Lamaise, there was a value of the property. Because
how can it be a value of property if halakhically I go to Beis Din and take that potential away?
People didn't care.
Okay. So that's a false value. That's a hagrala. That's called goral value.
But you still lose the Om Haba in that case. But you still lose the Om Haba.
In such a case. Next week, you have to think about a case, and this is for homework for next week. Somebody has enclosed his balcony illegally already. My neighbor. I want to now, above him, enclose my balcony legally. So, I make an application to... I go around asking the neighbors, I'm making an application to the area to make legal enclosure. The neighbor who's done it illegally says, what are you doing? It's Mesira what you're doing. Because by you going and applying to the area, they're going to come round and they're going to see me illegally and they're going to cause me lots of problems. So it's Mesira, you're not allowed to do it. Or are you allowed to do it in such a case?
Allowed.
I know. Reasoning, please. Until next week.
Now we need a
shift. What does that mean? I have something I have to do.
That's cool.